Hey guys, and welcome to Smart Women Read Romance, a book review podcast where we fangirl over all things romance. I'm Juliet.
And I'm Jessen.
Today we'll be reviewing Play of Passion, the ninth book in Eleni Singh's Side Changeling series. Before we dive in, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on your preferred podcast platform, and please rate and review us. If you want more romance discussions, follow us on our social media pages at SWReadRom, join our Facebook group, The Swoon Zone, and follow Jessen on her YouTube channel, Jessen Reads Romance. If you'd like some podcast extras, become a patron of the podcast on Patreon, where we have extra content including exclusive episodes and give away free stickers, books, and bookmarks. Jessen's Etsy store is now open. You can buy the Read Romance enamel pin collection as well as our bookmark and sticker. And a special shout out to our patrons for all of your support. And we love you guys.
We love you guys.
Okay. All right. I have something I want to say since this episode is coming out toward the end of January.
Yes.
February, you guys, if you're fantasy romance readers, you need to tune in to Pharaoh Feb, and that is actually the Instagram profile name, Pharofeb, which stands for Fantasy Romance February. We are hosting a bunch of different fantasy romance
authors. Astronomical list, and that's why it's a whole month long.
Right. It's a month long.
Readathon.
Basically, they've got a readathon.
Which you guys know that I love readathons. I love participating in them.
I love readathons.
I'm doing the historical romance one right now.
I know you are.
It just started today.
Even though I can't even participate, I'm just like, what are y'all reading? What are y'all doing? I'm like watching y'all over in the corner. It's so fun.
It is so fun.
Yeah, Wolf Gone Wild is actually on the readathon list. And it's funny because when I first saw, they invited me to do it or whatever, I was thinking fantasy romance. In my head, this is interesting, paranormal romance versus fantasy romance. And so I was thinking fantasy romance, oh, well, my dragon series, Veil of Stars, that's fantasy world, half dragon men.
Like, yeah. It's a completely made up world. It's
right,
not like
right.
Urban fantasy. It's still urban fantasy is fantasy, but it's like
right.
Your most fantasy book that you have is the dragon book.
But I love their website and how they have it all set up. They're like, no, we're including fantasy romance as any of the subgenre, including paranormal.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
I like that though, because whenever I categorize my books that I read per year, I just kind of group the paranormal and fantasy together. Because it's like you have fantastical
really
creatures,
right,
which appear both in paranormal and fantasy.
Right.
But fantasy, I mean, there's low fantasy and high fantasy. There's distinctions within fantasy and urban fantasy, which is fantasy based on the real world. And it's just like, there's lots of things, but man, I'm so glad that they're just including paranormal in there because
they definitely are.
There's so many books that I have yet to read. And Juliet and I got super heavy into contemporary romance in the past couple years. And it's been really fun going on Pharaoh Feb's Instagram, seeing their featured authors, and I see a bunch of books that I'm like, I've seen that book around. I just haven't put it on my list.
And funny is, you and I first bonded with fantasy romance.
I tell that people that all the time. Like, isn't it crazy?
It's crazy. It's like
we
now
started with fantasy,
we're doing a circle.
Guys.
We're coming back around. But like, I mean, some amazing authors, y'all. Amanda Boucher, Grace Draven, Jennifer Estep. They've even got Mila Vane. I mean, just tons and tons of great authors. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun month. They have a ton of different things going on. So it's hard for me even to list, but check it out, you guys, if you're into that genre, and it's going to be fun.
I'm excited. I'm making my TBR, and I'm trying to include as many new to me authors as possible.
Definitely.
But I also have a secret TBR. So
she's got a public TBR secret TBR.
So I will be posting before the start of February my TBR for Pharaoh Feb. But I will have some books that I'm reading in secret as like a surprise. And there's a couple reasons for that. And it's not just going to be, there's one particular series where I'm not sure how I'm going to feel about it. And so I just don't want to tell people I'm reading it because I don't want people to be like, oh my God, you're going to love it. Because like, I hate when people tell me I'm going to love something. It makes me like not want to hate it, but it makes me have higher expectations.
Have like a pressure. You have pressure.
And it's pressure to like it. And
like,
I don't like
don't
that
like
pressure.
It.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, you don't know me.
You don't know what I'm going to like. You don't know me. Unless it's me telling you that. But.
Yeah. So anyway, so I have a couple of books that I'm just reading without telling anybody, but a lot of the ones that I want to read are completely new to me. There's like a Hades and Persephone retelling that I'm really excited about.
Yes.
She's a featured author. No, it's not Emma Ham.
No.
Unless she has a different pen name. Scarlet St. Clair, A Touch of Darkness.
Ooh.
So I'm really excited about that one. I think Jennifer from the Book Refuge has already read the first one, and she really liked it.
Well,
because
I'm reading it.
Tried a Hades and Persephone. I don't want to say it's retelling, because it was kind of just like
I just had vibes.
Well, no, I mean they were named Hades and Persephone.
Oh.
But like,
no, then that's a retelling.
It had more than vibes, but it was like, I don't know. It was weird mashup of modern and like, I don't know,
yeah,
straight up Greek myth. But I read that for the Paranormal Romance Readathon, and I wasn't loving it. So I need one that's going to blow me away, basically.
Yeah.
Because you know how we love Lore Olympus. And
absolutely.
Hades and Persephone. I just love those opposites attract little sweet boo bears. I'm just I'm a sucker for opposites attract.
Me too.
And yeah, we definitely have that for tonight's episode.
We like the kidnapping trope. I'm sorry. I was just throwing that in there.
Juliet has been reading some dark romance, guys. So,
by the way, that one, this is what I wanted to say since you've started reading it, is definitely Beauty and the Beast vibes. Yeah.
He's a scarred hero.
Oh, my God. So good. Sorry. Totally different.
By the way, I will let you guys know. Currently, not like tonight because I'm in my HR readathon, but currently I'm in the middle of Cora Riley's Born in Blood series, and I'm reading Bound in Vengeance, which is Juliet's favorite from the series so far.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway.
I'm moving on to Cammora Chronicles as soon as I finish this. Bound by Love is the book after that one, but I literally have not stopped thinking about that book since I read it.
It might be on the podcast, so future reference.
Yeah. Yep.
We'll see. We'll see which one's going to go on here, but definitely a Cora Riley because we like her.
Oh, yeah. I think she's it's funny because when I get into this kind of writer, that literally just makes me want to pick up the next book and pick up the next book. I mean, that's great storytelling. Great storyteller. So, yeah, I'm 100% into this.
Again, thank you, Jennifer, from the Book
Refuge.
Yes,
thank you, Jen.
Thank
you, Jen.
We
appreciate it.
We love it. We love it.
Okay, all right, let's get into
this Opposites Attract. We love this.
Yes, okay. So tell us about the characters.
So, first of all, just letting you guys know, if you're just tuning in right now, this whole month is dedicated to Psy Changeling books and characters who are our favorites who we have not already done episodes on because we had three episodes already before we started January. Mm-hmm. And then now we're going to add on four more.
We're adding four more.
Four more.
Because that wasn't enough.
No,
okay?
It wasn't enough. You can never have enough Psy Changeling, okay? And every single, so on Tuesday nights, there's this, there's these reading sprints held on YouTube, and more I see people starting to be like, oh, I should give Psy Changeling a chance. And I'm like, give it a chance.
Give it a chance. What are you waiting for?
I love it. So anyway, I love the Kincaid siblings, and this is the final book with the Kincaid siblings. There's three of them. This is Drew, and he's the youngest boy. And he is a character. He's completely not the same as Riley. And this is also an older woman romance. The age gap's not that big. It's 4 years, but still, she's older.
But she's also like hierarchy, lieutenant.
Yes.
So that makes a big
difference.
We'll
talk about that in the spoiler section because I love the way that Nalini Singh established all this because it's a lot more interesting than just like, I hold a higher position in the pack than you.
Right.
I love this book so much. I love Drew and Indy. They're adorable. So Drew is the youngest Kincaid sibling, and we haven't really known much about him besides he's the lighter.
He's our funny
jokester.
Guy.
He's the funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to see a whole other side of Drew. This like single, one-track minded, possessive man who just like worms his way into your heart. And that's what he does to Indigo. Now, Indigo is his brother's like pretty much best friend.
Right.
Besides Hawk. Indigo, Riley, and Hawk are like the highest ranking members, Hawk being the alpha. But I would say that Riley is Hawk's right hand man.
Yeah.
And Indigo is like the left hand man.
Right.
Like they're both like in the highest positions of power.
Right.
And so Drew has his work cut out for him because Indigo only views Drew as Riley's little brother,
right,
which poses a problem.
She keeps trying to put him in the boy.
Yeah, the little boy category, not a man. Mm-hmm. And one night it all changes because they have to go track this rogue, and we'll talk more about that in the spoiler section. And so they're outside at night, and it's all raining. And once they complete their mission, adrenaline's pumping high, and Drew kisses Indigo.
Yeah, they shift, and they're naked.
Yes. Well, of course. Yeah. But in changing society, shifting in nakedness is not, like, a big thing unless it's, like, actually mm-hmm. sexual in nature. But the whole thing changes the way that Indigo views Drew. Because now she's forced to recognize that, oh, this is actually like a virile male mm-hmm. and he's interested in me. And she is not sure that she likes it at first. And I really love it because Drew has to convince her to give him a shot. And Drew is the persistence that I love. Indigo is very much like Riley. She has her walls set up and she's very like knows what she wants and she thinks she wants a certain type of man.
Right.
She basically wants somebody that's a lot like her.
Just like Riley wanted his little submissive.
Exactly. So that's why like I consider them like basically Drew married his brother, but in girl form.
Exactly.
And it's just so good. I fucking love it. And Drew is just like this bulldoze his way into your heart mm-hmm. and I really love him. And Indigo has had this position of power and she is just so strong and so smart, but she absolutely loves Drew's brand of humor.
Yeah.
And once she gets
friends.
To know, yeah, they become good mm-hmm. friends. And once she gets to really know a lot more about Drew, other than this is Riley's little brother, it's mm-hmm. like she can't help but fucking love him. So anyway.
So those are our characters because we're about to like spoil the shit out of everything, you guys. So if you have not read this, please go read it and then come back and join us. Spoiler section. So yes. So it starts off, they have chased down a rogue and he's one of the juveniles actually, or yes. he's a older teenager and he's kind of just, what's happened is he's kind of lost it. What happens sometimes is their wolf takes over
mm-hmm.
and, this is really, really important to understand. Drew's position in the pack is he is a tracker, okay?
Yeah.
He is not designated in the hierarchy specifically, except that he's very dominant male. But he does not have lieutenant status. However, he reports directly to Hawk, the
yes.
alpha. And so, and Indigo starts to notice this. She starts to think about all these things, like, because she keeps thinking of him as a lesser than her. But
yeah,
then she
like
starts
a,
to
a
note,
soldier, just like an
just
adult
a soldier.
Soldier.
Right,
but,
right,
but
right.
she's a lieutenant, which is like top notch.
Top, yeah. Like, and she's like, an alpha female cannot be with anyone less hierarchy than herself. They have to be either even or higher than her.
Her personality is that she prefers a more dominant man.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't always work like that because Nalini Singh has some amazing anthologies of like short stories of minor characters who she doesn't think need a whole book to tell their story, but she definitely wants to give them an HEA. And some of my favorite ones are in the anthology. I love them. And so she does have a more dominant female and a submissive man. As it's actually a wolf and a leopard pairing, interestingly enough. But anyway, so it's not always that. But for Indigo in particular, she wants somebody who's equal or more strength than her.
What I find fascinating is that's what she feels like she needs to be satisfied as a woman. But also, she doesn't want him to challenge her and try to basically belittle her wolf, you know?
Yes.
Like,
it's the same problem that Mercy had accepting Riley. She wants somebody of equal or stronger power, but she also bucks against Riley saying, I am stronger than you.
Right.
And she doesn't want that.
It's a very strange juxtaposition. And especially
it has to hit just right.
Right, right. And so, but what's interesting is, so Drew, as the tracker, has a very special role. And basically when
and they're born with this ability because Lucas is actually also like the hunter mm-hmm. in his pack, but he's alpha. And
he's
so
an
it's
alpha.
Just kind of like that is kind
it's
of
a very
that it's not really intimidation, but it's just like his word is law. And so if there's any rogues, Lucas himself is the alpha. He has the extra responsibility of being kind of like the executioner to execute the rogues. Well, Drew has this position in a snow dancer, but he's combated this because the thing about it is Drew's a very social man.
And
he thrives off of being able to like be a part of the group and he doesn't want to be seen as this like boogeyman.
He
doesn't want to
be. Like he tells Indigo straight out, he's like, I don't want that role as lieutenant, because then I won't be part of them. Mm-hmm. They need to see that I am one of them in order to open up to me, so that he knows if one's going to go rogue. He can sense it. Like, he basically, there's one part of the book that I really loved, and it's not until the end, is that Drew is one of those that is the heart of the pack.
He is. You know?
And so it's very important that he maintain that role as, you know, it's not an accident that he's a charmer.
No.
Everyone loves Drew.
Yes.
Everyone. All the women love Drew.
It's like part of his personality, but it also makes his job easier as well, because he's able to check on everyone and make sure that everyone's doing okay. Because the thing is, being rogue, going rogue, could happen to anybody.
Right.
And it's like Juliet said, this loss of control when the wolf overtakes the human, it can become dangerous, because if it overtakes them too much, it causes them to be feral and they're uncontrollable.
They can kill people
they love. They can kill people that they love. They're not in their right mind. And so it would be Drew's job to track somebody down. Mm-hmm. And Inigo does have a conversation with him, like, have you ever had to execute somebody?
And he's
like, yes, once I did, you know? And I mean, that's such a painful position to have to be the person in charge of somebody. It could be somebody that you know and love.
Somebody you care about. Exactly.
So what he does is he makes sure that he is in touch with everybody so that he can see signs.
Basically being like a proactive. Like,
yeah,
being
proactive. And like, making sure everyone's okay.
Yeah, like, I'm just going to make sure. And he talks. He has this almost like, he's almost like the pack therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Like when, what's her name? Maria was like having boy trouble and he like talks to her and stuff. But that has another side.
Oh, it's so good.
Let's get to that part.
Yeah, we can't
but
wait.
So,
but
right.
So this night.
So this night.
They shift and Indigo's like, good job. We did it. We brought the juvenile back in.
Like,
he's fine. Like, woohoo.
And Drew suddenly just like, they're
attacks
they're naked,
Indigo's
they're
mouth.
In the rain and just like starts like making out with her. And the thing is, this one I find is the best example of the side changeling showing skin privileges as like, they're kissing, they're touching and whatever, but it doesn't mean anything.
Yes.
Quote unquote.
To Indigo, because
she's
just like, Indigo's
normal.
Response to this has just been like, you have a lot of adrenaline pumping through you.
Yeah, he's just
this is a natural response.
Yes.
Like, I get it. And I'm not going to hold this against you. But Drew pushes and says like, no, I want you.
Yeah.
And Indigo's like, I'm going to tell you to stop. I'm going to take out my claws. Like, I'm holding back because I don't want to hurt you. And I'm attributing this to something that's out of your control.
And we're friends.
But so. When Drew makes it clear that he's just like, no, he's like attracted to her. Mm-hmm. She kind of doesn't know what to do with that. She's just like, but you're Riley's little brother. Like,
and that kills him. Little brother. Oh.
Drew does not want to be the little brother, okay?
Yeah.
Absolutely does not. And Indigo truly has never seen Drew in this light. And I think that was what was kind of really sweet and like I was on Indigo's side was just kind of like, well, Drew's like always been the playful one and like I love him as a friend and I don't want to lose him as a friend.
Right.
Like I hope that
that's
our relationship doesn't change. And so
right.
She's stressing about this. She's like, oh my God, like if I see Drew, I need to act like normal. Like I don't want it to be weird between us because she is like, well, Drew's such a nice guy. Like I don't want him to be mad at me.
Uh-huh.
I don't want things to change. And so Drew does decide to back off a little bit.
Yeah, but when we get in his point of view, we learn that he is 1,000% pursuing her. Yeah.
Basically, Drew has decided that Indigo is the one.
She's the one.
Even though he doesn't feel a mating bond, and I don't know if we recently talked about mating bonds. We definitely have in the last two episodes. But mating bonds are something that is kind of involuntary and it's unpredictable. It happens differently for every single couple.
Mm-hmm.
It could happen whenever you first meet somebody, before you even talk to them.
Yeah.
A mating bond can kick in and you know that this is your fated mate. And fated mates are special because you can have a regular relationship with somebody and never have a mating bond with them. You can you can have just like a regular relationship. But the mating bond is something more – it's just more connective. You could feel them. Like, it gives you, like, an extra oomph in the relationship, basically.
You know that you're meant to be with this person.
Yes.
So it sort of, like, draws you to them on a deeper level. It's a soulmate, y'all. You guys, it's fated mates. It's that. So something happens that catapults this into the next level. And so, first of all, after this, Indy's just, like, you know, blowing it off. It's no big deal. It doesn't mean anything. And so Drew shows up She says, hey, let's go back to the pack and there's a leftover piece of cheesecake. You know, I'll share it with you. He's like, okay, sure.
Yeah, she's like this peace offering to like get us back into friends.
Like, so they both go take their showers and she brings the cheesecake to his apartment. First, the first thing he's thinking is, she's in my territory. She's in my room. So he's getting all like alpha male. I love how he
walks around shirtless.
Yes, on
because
purpose.
He's like in indigo. Now that he has kissed her, it's like, oh my God, I'm noticing
not
Drew.
Not only shirtless, he drops his
drops his
towel to change
because
in front of
her. Indigo is kind of like light and airy about the situation. Mm-hmm. Like it's nothing I haven't seen. And Drew's like kind of hurt on the inside by it. Like
he's like, oh, okay.
She just viewing me as another male in the pack. Nudity is not really a big deal. So
right.
So basically, he's just like, okay, if you say nudity is not a big deal,
I'm just gonna change.
I'll change
but
in front of you.
Of course, as soon as he goes to like change, she's like staring at his body and is like, holy shit, Drew.
He's sexy.
Like that
oh, no.
broad back, that big chest and
oh,
everything.
Oh no, Indigo's starting to be attracted to Drew.
So she's having a lot of confused feelings. And of
she
course,
is.
He
and
comes
I,
over there.
I understand it.
I know. And he is like flirty as fuck. He's like feeding her the cheesecake. Mm-hmm. And then
I don't normally like whenever people feed other people
I know.
Food, but I like Drew doing it.
Yeah, but Drew, it's okay.
Drew, you can do it. It's fine.
They even share a piece of cheesecake later in the
I
story.
I love it. Yeah.
Cheesecake is a theme and I'm
and
totally
I love
cool
cheesecake,
with that.
So I'm good. I'm
yeah,
good.
I'm totally down with that. But he is like feeling super aggressive and like he just starts kissing her and she lets him a little bit, but then she's kind of like pulling away a little bit. He grabs the back of her neck, which is
a possessive display.
Yes.
And it's a no-no for alpha females.
A big no-no.
Alpha females are like, you can't be possessive with me like that.
Right.
Unless I give you
the right
skin privileges.
Yes, I have to give you the right to do that.
Yes.
And so basically he fucks up. He grabs her by the back of the neck and is like, no, and like trying to kiss her again. And so she kind of, I don't know if she like claws him or whatever, but basically he's like,
I mean,
back the fuck off, Drew. This is
It's
like,
reasonable for a changeling to claw another changeling.
Yeah.
To like get their point across.
Yeah. Like you're pissing me off.
Yes.
You know, that's just kind of how they operate.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as she leaves, he's like, oh, fuck, I've fucked it. He's like, he realized immediately he's screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and the thing is like, I was like, I've got to make this up to her. Well, they had already planned. They had been selected to take all the juveniles up on a camping trip, basically, up into the mountains.
To make sure that all of them
sure
are okay,
okay
because of this
right.
incident that happened in the very beginning. They wanted to make sure, because a lot of things are happening in the world. Like the Psy, there's like lots of things going on with the council.
Anxiety is bleeding over.
There's lots of
over.
Unrest going
yeah.
on in the world. And
just like today, you guys.
Just like today.
Just like the changelings would be losing their fucking shit right now
yes.
in 2021.
So is their job as people higher up in the pack to make sure that all of the young kids are doing okay. So they're taking a hike into the mountains so mm-hmm. that they can have one-on-one time and assess these kids in the certain age group because Drew's really good with this age group.
Yeah.
And so is Indigo. And Indigo's not happy that Drew's her partner.
Right. She's pissed because of the night before. She's like, how dare he try to cross these boundaries when we're good friends and he's fucking it all up trying
yeah.
to make it sexual.
Don't try
like,
to change
don't
our
try
relationship.
Because like we have a great relationship. So she's kind of upset because she's like, look, we have great friendship. Why is he ruining it?
Yeah,
with this?
You're ruining it, Drew.
You know? So, you know, it's a very female response. Like, mm-hmm. I totally get this.
And I love it because Drew kind of ignores her for a couple days
yes!
until
and he doesn't apologize.
He doesn't apologize.
He does not apologize.
And Indigo is kind of fuming about it.
Yes.
Indigo's like, I would have forgiven him. I understand he's having feelings,
yeah.
but like, he didn't even apologize.
Like
fuck
what's
him.
What's wrong with him?
Like, fuck him.
Not only that, she goes to meet the juveniles and Drew's late. And she's like, screw this. Come on, guys. We're hiking up. And they're like, wait, I thought Drew was coming. He's like, he can catch up.
Yeah.
She's so pissed. And so by the time they meet the midway point, which is where they're supposed to like
have a snack.
Have a snack.
Relax.
Like, she already knew they were going to meet at this one like little plateau up the mountainside. What do they see but a picnic set out by Drew.
Drew.
Who is already there. And I love
he scouted ahead. Because he's
I love it. I love it because she's like still in her mind fuming. She's like, what is
you
this
left
an apology?
Me.
You
yeah.
left me? He goes, well, I wanted to make sure the roads were clear. We haven't been up this way and there could have been a rock slide and I want to make sure it was safe. And she's like, oh shit, yeah, I should have thought of that.
That's reasonable. And she goes, oh, well, you could have told me. And he goes, I did. I left a message on your phone. She's like, shit, I forgot to charge her phone. Okay.
Yeah.
So
it's
like
Indigo's
now
fault. Yeah.
He's like, helping her calm down. And then they have like a special picnic set up for them. And Drew whips out a cheesecake because he's like, for the one that I ruined, you know?
There's the one for the ruin. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
And he's like, I won't.
I acted like an asshole.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, why didn't you apologize earlier? And he said, you were too mad to hear my apology and I wanted to do it right.
He smooths
it all over. Smooth man.
But you know what's so smart too is she's like, you know what? He is a strong alpha male. He needed to catch his feelings. He needed to like think about how to apologize. She said, I can totally understand that because I would have been the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're too stubborn to admit you're wrong right at first. You have to sort of think about
it. Yeah, it's hard.
And what I really loved about this book, and we see this over and over and over, there's a pattern of back and forth. It's not like Drew is constantly fucking up and Indigo is constantly mad. We have a little bit of back and forth. Like Indigo kind of loses it sometimes and Drew's mad, you know? Like I really love that it was more balanced in them finding their way to each other than just one of them screwing up and the other one being mad. You know?
Because honestly, and I wouldn't say that this is the easiest relationship, but there's a lot less fraught situations whenever there's like one more dominant personality in a relationship and one more submissive.
Yeah.
Because that's just kind of like, it's easier to deal with somebody than whenever you have two people who are alpha. Two people who are like, it's my way or the highway. And it's hard to compromise.
They're battling a little bit.
They're battling a little bit. And this is what happens. But the thing about Nalini Singh is she always pulls through with these very difficult romances that are hard to navigate. And Drew and Indigo are one of these because it's like, you don't want to have Indigo kind of pretend that she's not the strong woman that she is just to appease Drew, who's less dominant than her, at least in the hierarchy. And you don't want Drew to be mistaken for anybody who's less serious than somebody, even if he was part of the lieutenant, you know, hierarchy. It's like not right to just discount him just because he doesn't have that position of power.
Yeah.
So it's like, and he even says fucking that to good.
Hawk later, because Hawk later is like, offers him a more senior position and he goes, it would help you with Indigo. He's like, no, not really. It wouldn't make a difference, honestly. You know, and I love that Drew is very clear on where they stand. And so what ended up happening is they get to their camp base, they're helping all the juveniles, and who shows up but Hawk with Maria.
Maria.
Cute, boobalicious
so
Maria.
So bubbly.
And Indigo makes a point to make point out that she has big boobs. She's
I
very
love
curvy
how
and sweet.
Indigo's extremely jealous.
Yes.
As soon as Maria, and this is a change because before she wouldn't have noticed if any woman had paid Drew attention, she would have just
it wouldn't have
been
bothered
like,
her.
No, it wouldn't have bothered her. Right. But suddenly it bothers her. And I love these displays of jealousy because it's like it indicates a change in a relationship, especially if it's people who have known each other for a long time. Like this indication, this display of jealousy, and she even like berates herself and being like, stop it. You're being ridiculous.
Stop being jealous.
Stop being jealous. Like, you're being insane. You have no claim on him. You have no right to be jealous. But
y'all,
she is, and she even puts his backpack.
Out. Yeah, so he basically, what happens is he sees that Maria is hurting over a recent breakup, even though she's flirting with him. And because he's so caring about everybody, he says, come on, let's go take a walk.
In the woods.
So, yes,
and Indigo's like, of course they want privacy.
Of course they want privacy. They'll have sex somewhere.
Yeah.
And he's over there, you know, helping her through a broken heart.
She's crying on his shoulder.
Yes.
Because she's trying to act out. She's trying to prove that she wasn't hurt by this other guy.
By coming on to Drew.
And Drew, as the pack kind of like therapist, is like, sweetheart, like, just tell me what's wrong.
I will help you. like, he is. He's like, such the counselor. And like, it's so amazing. So he does. He gets
Indigo,
her.
Indigo, that little
So Indigo's fuming.
Girl.
And she doesn't even. So when she sees them come back, she doesn't even want to scent the sex on them. She has put Drew's shit out on the lawn.
I love how she rationalizes it, though. Because she's just like, I'm just making it easier because I know that he'll probably want to spend the night with Maria. So I'm just like helping him pack up, you know? I'm just helping him. It's one less thing for him to do. But she's lying to herself because she's pissed.
He comes back and he's just like so mad.
And he like sleeps on, he like goes to get ready under a tree and like goes like, and he goes like, I thought you were going to like bunk with Maria. And he's like, why would I do that?
Why would I take advantage of her?
She's hurting. She is hurting right now because of this other guy. And Indigo's like, I misunderstood the situation. And Drew's like, yeah, you fucking did. Yeah, you like, are you ready to admit that you're a fucking jealous little person? Are you ready? Are you ready to admit it that you have feelings for me? And also Drew does like this really beautiful, beautiful. He shows Indigo that he knows her so well. Because Indigo's basically like, oh, you're just attracted to me. It's nothing deeper. But like he really knows Indigo. First of all, knows that she loves cheesecake. And he's ready for the apology.
Yeah.
Second of all, he finds these fossils because Indigo collects fossils of leaves. And he finds this pristine fossil and gives it to her as a gift. And it's just
and
like.
And she's even like, how do you know this? He goes,
I know.
I just know.
I know everything about you. Okay.
I'm watching.
The fuck attention. Okay. Yeah. Also, what kind of like prompts them to cut this little bonding with the juvenile short is one of the juveniles finds this like mechanical object in the territory because like Snow Dancer and Dark River have miles and miles and miles of territory.
Oh, it's and Sylvie. I love it's little Sylvie. Sylvie. She's
Sylvie's so,
cute. So
sweet. And she's going to be like a maternal dominant. And
Grace is like all around that.
Yeah.
See, this is why I want Next Generation.
I know. All the Next Generation. Sylvie and Grace. Oh my God. Love it. So the Psy have been trying to gather intel on the changelings, especially Snow Dancer and Dark River, because they're a problem pack, okay? Mm-hmm. They have members of the Psy community within their pack now. There's been two defectors, Faith and Sasha, have defected into Dark River. And also, it's unknown, but the Lauren family have defected to Snow Dancer. So they're becoming more and more powerful just in the world, in the world. And they have planted these devices that monitor their territory. And Sylvie found one. And so now they're on high alert.
Yeah.
Now Snow Dancer is on high alert. And they're calling in reinforcements.
No.
So there is a packmate who normally is kind of like a lone wolf, and he normally does not spend a ton of time.
Riaz.
In Snow Dancer territory, and he comes back. And like he and Indigo have had kind of a history.
Fun fact, she lost her virginity to Riaz.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Drew is not happy.
And Drew knows.
Drew is not happy that Riaz is coming back. Just whenever he's getting Indigo to realize that she has feelings because her jealousy does not come out of a place of friendship.
Right. No.
Riaz comes back and he's flirty with Indigo.
Definitely.
Like, let's see
where
this
takes
us.
He's kind of playing with her to see, hey, you know.
So Riaz is renowned for being like the best person for this like training course.
It's like an obstacle training
an
course.
An obstacle course. And he has like the best time. And so like he challenges Indigo to a fun
game.
Oh,
wait,
game
we
of,
have
like,
to tell, we have to tell about the note. The note he's looking at her.
Okay,
so just so you know, basically what happens is there's sort of a confrontation and Drew kind of screws up and basically challenges her or whatever. They get into a bit of an argument when all these other people are there. Hawk is there and everybody. And so afterwards, you know,
it's Drew's frustration over Indigo not taking him seriously.
Right.
And so but he pushes a little
defensive.
Too far. Yeah.
And so he's like, okay, I need to pursue this in a different way. So he slips a note basically. And this is a very, you know, this is a guy asking a girl out, please go out to dinner with me tonight. And so that's all he sends her. And
Indigo's
she does not respond yet.
Feelings about it all.
She doesn't respond yet.
She doesn't know what she's going to do. And then Riaz comes.
And then Riaz is like, hey, let's kind of challenges her to this obstacle thing. Well, the whole pack is all excited. And Drew's even like, hey, what's going on? Like, oh, well, you know, Riaz and Indigo are going to challenge each other at the obstacle course, whatever. And of course, he sees red immediately. But he's like, okay,
she's
fine.
Like, I know what this is about. This is fucking foreplay, isn't it?
Yes. And so he goes to watch. And the saddest thing is that the whole time they're running, doing this, doing the obstacle course, Indigo is laughing and everything, and he sees her happy with Riaz, and he's thinking, well, maybe she doesn't want me. But afterwards, he swallows his pride. This is what kills me. He swallows his pride, and he's like, I'm going to go up there and congratulate them like a big boy. And as soon as he does, Riaz says, hey, after a shower, why don't we go catch some dinner, Indigo? And Indigo looks at Drew and then tells Riaz, yes, I'll go to dinner with you.
If you can't see me, but I'm clutching my heart.
She is literally clutching her chest right now, and her little pouty lip is out.
My baby, Drew, just got his heart pummeled. I'm not okay.
She publicly
rejected
him for another man. She's been a relationship with.
And the thing is, she like turns to Riaz, and whenever she looks back, Drew's gone.
Yeah.
And she's kind of worried about it.
Yeah.
She is
worried.
Because she knows she's just like oh, fucked God. It all up. She knows that her and Drew are not going to be able to go back to friends as it was.
Yeah.
And she knows that she just rejected it moving forward.
Absolutely
rejected it and put a pin in that.
Yeah.
We're going to move on from friends to lovers.
What I do love is that after she has a dinner with Riaz, and Riaz says, okay, I see that this is going nowhere between you and me, so...
Like, let's cut to the chase.
Who are you really interested in? Drew? Is Drew,
like,
right?
Like, Drew, right?
And she goes, yeah.
And she's like, how did you know? Like,
yeah.
I can tell.
Y'all, so this is the sad thing. And I really love this part, though, is she goes home. She's like, she gets all dressed. She's like, okay, I'm going to go find him. He's not in his room.
He's not home.
Let me go find Hawk and see where he's at. What does Hawk say, Jessen?
Drew has left the building, okay? Drew has decided that he's going to go scout out this territory.
He needs a couple days
to clear his head. And
yes.
He obviously doesn't want – he left because he's like, okay.
She made her
choice. And they're probably going to come back in the den being all affectionate. And they're going to probably reignite their sexual relationship. And I cannot be here for that.
Right, right. He's like, I need to get my head on
straight.
Drew's
just removing himself
from
the equation. And he's just like, she's made her choice. And I have got to respect it. So he's like, I got to remove myself from the equation and let myself lick my wounds in peace.
I love how worried Indigo is about this. And she's like.
She knows she just like fucked everything up.
And Hawk is like, well. He's only 5 hours ahead of you. And she's like, okay. And she goes, do you think it's going to be okay? And he goes, no.
Yeah.
You really, really hurt him.
Like this
no,
is bad.
This is bad. It's not going to be good. But you might want to go. I love that Hawk's so like straight with him and real about it all.
And poor thing. Once Indigo, I like how... Drew has pushed for this relationship all along, but once he got a very clear indication from Indigo that she was uninterested in pursuing a sexual relationship, he backed off completely.
Yeah.
And now it's Indigo's turn to be the pursuer.
Yes,
now
I like that
she
too.
Has got to be the one that's going to be forward, making all the moves and making it clear that she wants this. And so when she does find Drew,
oh, he's mad.
He is mad.
Okay. I loved it. I love this scene.
And so, oh God, it's just so. Good.
It's so good.
So he has left all of his pack and stuff like in a little spot, and he's gone swimming. So Indigo goes to the river, and she strips naked and goes swimming too. And Drew's just pissed, and he's just like,
what are you doing here?
And Indigo has got to say, like, you know, I messed up, and I'm coming after you, basically.
But she can't. And so he just, like, gets out, and he's like, you know, whatever. So he basically, but what's so funny is when she's like, okay, that went well. And then, like, she swims a while, but when she gets out, she notices he's put a towel there for her. Like, he's still thinking about her.
So even though he's mad at her.
Even though he's mad.
He's still taking care of her.
I know. It's so sad. Like, he can't not. Even though he's fuming. So when she goes back up to the top, he's, like, just kind of laying on his little sleeping bag by himself, looking at the stars. But she's also noticed that he has packed all her shit up and put it back in her backpack.
Like you're not staying
take
here.
Take your shit and leave, kind of like, you know, like, I'm done. And so she has to be very aggressive. She basically just goes and straddles him and sits on him.
Yes.
And he's like, what are you doing? You know? And so she has to swallow her pride a little bit.
Yes.
And that's what I really love about this is we do have a lot of give and take from both sides.
Always.
You know? And it's very balanced.
I never feel like people are not going to say what they feel just because of their pride. Like, there's always a point where it's just
or when
like,
they screw up, they're like, okay, I'm going to go
I've got to talk about shit. Like, I never have ever gotten a feeling where Nalini Singh has written a couple where I feel like miscommunication is their biggest problem.
Right.
I never feel like that because they always, always get to this point where Indigo has got to say out loud that she fucking screwed up. And exactly. And she has got to admit everything. She has to lay everything out on the line and just be like, look, I'm attracted to you. I don't want Riaz. I want you.
Yes. So then they have hot wolf sex.
Oh, yeah. Because he's like, come up in my face. Okay. And it's just like, hello.
Y'all, let me tell you about Drew and the sack.
Drew is a fucking beast.
Let's just slow our roll for a second. The sex in this book is like top notch. Yes. I have to say. Mm-hmm. This is like, to me, Nalini Singh in her top game with the sex. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was good in Riley and Mercy, too. Don't get me wrong. Like, that was fucking hot. But I feel like Drew's, like, next level.
It's so sensual.
Very sensual.
So sensual.
Yeah.
And so they have a phenomenal time because – and it's also – I love how Drew gets his little jibe in there where – Indigo's like, oh my God, you're ready to go again? And he was like, that's what you get for being with the younger man.
Like, I told you there's advantages with being with a younger man.
it's so funny. Just like, Drew gets his little point in, and Indigo is feeling extremely satisfied. And she is like, okay, I'm done fighting this. This feels so right. Right. And I was wrong by saying that that just because he isn't older than me or as old as me doesn't have like my experience, because she trusts in the pack hierarchy. She trusts in labels, but sometimes you have to look beyond those labels because Drew doesn't fit in the hierarchy. And that's what she discovers later. And that's what she gets clued into. She's like, oh, wait. So even though Drew just holds like a regular soldier position, he honestly does a lot more. And so she gets to, like, witness this about –
I love that when he's reporting directly to Hawk, like, those moments she's – and it's, like, clicking in her head, like, okay, he doesn't have the title of his lieutenant, but he's direct
– he's kind of acting
he's
like
talking directly to the Alpha. Like, that's, there's a reason. There's a reason, Indigo. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and there's a reason he doesn't have that label. It's so that he can continue to be, like, that – person, that sort of like counselor to everyone.
He's approachable, and if he had that label, he'd be a little bit more unapproachable.
Right, exactly. Like Riley and Indigo are. Others are the juveniles, and everyone are kind of scared of him a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, for a reason.
It's just intimidating because there are these people that you look up to, and Drew's just one of the guys, one of the girls. Just like he's there to be a shoulder to cry on,
so he can be more in tune to what's really going on. No one's hiding their emotions or how they're feeling around him.
Yes.
You know?
And so their relationship progresses, and I really love the sweet moments because since Indigo's so serious, Drew's the lightness in the relationship, and he brings a lot of like playful energy to her, which she hasn't noticed that she's been missing.
She's like so serious, but he's the one. And that's the thing is, she loved the friendship, and it's like now they're lovers.
She gets the friendships too.
Like, come on.
But with sex, and it's great.
Okay. Marry your best friend, people. That's like the best.
So there's also another moment where Drew fucks up again. Okay. So they've been in a sexual relationship for a while. It's been beautiful.
Yes.
Drew's like opened up about his family and all that jazz. But there is this accident where one of the juveniles, there's like a there's like a cliff that like crumbled, and like she's
hurt. She's like on a cliff edge.
Yes. And so they both respond to the scene. And they're both like assessing it. And Indigo's about to make some decisions. And in the pack hierarchy, she does have like the say. She gets to be the one to call the shots, basically.
She's a lieutenant. So.
But Drew is expecting her
to not send him down.
To not send him down.
Because it's dangerous.
And Drew automatically goes on the defensive before she can even say anything and being like, hey, this is not the time for you to pull rank and say whatever you're going to say. Like, I have the experience.
I'm a skilled climber.
Yes, I have the experience of climbing.
If we weren't sleeping together.
Yeah. And if we weren't sleeping together, you wouldn't discount, you know, basically all of my credentials to be the one to do this.
Right.
Like, just because you're the one that's higher in the pack does not mean you're the more skilled person to be able to do this. And Indigo's just like, I was going to say that.
But she just quickly relents and he goes.
Yes.
Okay. And so.
But she is extremely frustrated that he snapped back like that.
Yeah.
And in front of everybody. That's the problem too.
Not only that, Hawk hears, he walks up and dresses her down in front of everyone. Like, Indigo, do you need a few minutes to cool off?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, no, I'm fine. Go, Drew. And then like sends him over the edge. So they rescue Sylvie. They get her back. And then Hawk has a word with Drew and he's like, dude, like, what the fuck? It's like, you just, like...
And he knows,
if you
too. He's like,
if you would have given her 3 minutes to, you know, like, even a minute to think about it, she would have sent you over the edge.
Yeah.
But you assumed that she wasn't going to, you know, basically...
And it's because he's been so used to, in the beginning of their relationship, to Indigo just kind of, like, boxing him in.
And I will say,
he didn't quite trust her enough to be able to...
Make the decision
to see him as somebody who has a lot of experience and who is as capable as other senior members of the pack.
So I want to say, I think personally, I think some of that is a little bit of his own insecurity and not trusting her. But I also think it's a little bit her fault too, because she has time and again said, you're Riley's little brother. You're a boy. You're not grown. You know what I mean?
Like, he's definitely kind of anticipated this pattern that she set.
Right. But he also is too defensive too fast.
He didn't give her the chance to prove him wrong either.
Right.
He immediately jumped to conclusions, which is wrong. And he knows he's fucked up.
His wolf is riding him hard.
He knows he fucked up. Okay.
Yes.
And this is one of my favorite things.
Me too. Oh my God. Okay. So first of all, when he goes to see her, he's like, I'm sorry. She goes, there's nothing to apologize about. This is why this won't work.
Yeah.
And basically he's like,
just
we're
be
done.
Like, okay, this is the example. This, like, you're always going mm-hmm. to be annoyed with me because I'm the more senior person in the pack. Mm-hmm. And it's always going to come between us.
This
and
is gonna
I
be
don't
a constant
have
argument. I don't
the
do
mental
that.
Capacity to deal with this. I'm going to get hurt if we continue this. And I get it. I totally understand
and it's just
her
like,
reasoning.
This isn't good for the pack. No. This isn't good for the pack. You know, so we cannot be this constantly combative relationship. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So she's basically like, we're done.
And also, something that Drew finds out later, but I do want to mention now, she has this fear of being caught in this relationship where one person resents the other because
like her, Adria and Martin.
She has an aunt who's actually more her age because her grandparents had a late in life baby.
Mm-hmm.
And it was around the same time that her mom was pregnant with Indigo. And Adria is only a couple years older than Indigo. And Indigo's in this relationship where she's a lot stronger than her partner, but the partner actually resents her. Martin hates
and he tries to dominate her all the time.
He tries to dominate her, and he's very passive aggressive, saying like, oh, the stronger one should walk in the door first, stuff like that. And she does not want that relationship. And so she does have a reason for bucking against this.
Yeah, so she has like a backstory.
Cutting it off in here because she's just like, this is an example of what I don't want. So no.
And she really loves Drew as a friend at this point, mm-hmm. you know, like she respects
him
as
a friend.
She
wants to cut it off now before they get too deep where they'll hate each other after.
Right, right. So I do, the backstory that Nalini Singh has set up really makes sense. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
it all makes sense. Like, I love the way she's thought about all the little details. But we're at this point where Indigo's like, okay, so this was an example of why we can't be together. And so we just need to let this go. Drew will have none of this shit. He will have none of it. He tells her, basically he's like, okay. And he smiles and walks away. And she's like, what was that look about? Like, what is Drew up to? So what starts to happen is she doesn't see Drew for a while, but guess what she does see? A rose shows up in her locker. And then more roses. And then Hershey kisses, like thousands of them spread all over her room. And then
so like she never sees Drew himself.
No.
Like for a week.
No.
But she always gets these little gifts.
These gifts. And the little wolf with the little note
in his
mouth.
And now the pack is in on it because she's like going to her locker.
And they're all watching.
And they're all watching. And she's like, I know something's around the fucking corner. What did he do now? And she like opens her locker and like 1,000 roses spill out.
Right.
Not 1,000, but you know what I'm saying. Like tons of roses spill out.
Yeah.
And there's always a Hershey kiss.
It's like the Hershey
kisses,
the thousands of Hershey kisses we put in her room, and then like open the closet and they like all fall out. It's just so funny.
Yes.
So the finally, she puts, he puts a stuffed wolf
with a little invitation.
With a note, an invitation to dinner in his mouth. And, so she's like, fine. I'll show him. And she gets all sexied up in this like strapless dress. She's ready to go tell him, you know, what he needs to understand and that this is not going to work. And I love that, like, as soon as she walks up, goes to the suite. He's had a private room set apart for their dining experience. He's like in this tuxedo, and immediately her heart just melts when she sees him. He's like beautiful, gorgeous, smiling. He even has this sort of like vulnerable look to him. Like he wants her so badly. And of course, he's just like, my God, you're amazing. So they
I love him so much.
I know. So they have a really good talk at the table. You know, where he says, and I love this scene. Because he told her in the invitation, this was a goodbye to Drew. She was like, goodbye to Drew, right? Like, he's going to just quit. He's going to give up now. But then they sit down. He goes, well, I just want to tell you that I've had an invitation to join this other pack. I forgot what their name is called. But, and I'm going to take it. And she goes, ha ha, very funny. He's like, no, I'm serious. I'm taking it. She's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, he said that I'm not giving up on us. And if the only way we can be together is for me to leave the pack, then I'm going to do it. And this is where my heart just like fell out. He's willing to leave the pack so that they can be together and not have these like combative, argumentative relationships as, you know, her as lieutenant, whatever. Indigo's like heart just falls into her stomach and she cannot even. She's like, what? Like, you can't leave the pack? He's like, well, I'll still be available to go. And then you and I can still have a relationship that way. Like, that's the only way. And she is dying inside, like dying inside to think that he's going to be leaving her. And that's when she realizes like, no, no, no. So then they have hot sex in their private dining room.
They do.
This is like a super
I
hot
love it
scene.
Because Drew planned it to where no waiter would disturb them. Like, right, he pre-ordered like,
already,
the whole meal.
I pre-ordered it and I've already locked the door. We're good.
And so, like, I love it because, like, she goes sit down on his lap and she's like, what is this I feel underneath me? And it's just so hot. And he, like, rips her panties off and basically they have hot chair sex. And they go back home and it's just like, it's so sensual.
Super, super
so now
loving.
They're back together and it's just, they all, it, all of this, they know that they can overcome any little tiffs that they have about dominance right. while they're establishing it. And she knows that, like, and she realizes, I think, does she talk to Riley about Drew's dominance and how it's growing and it's more, like, it's more than you think it is, but he doesn't display the dominance. Cause, so he can very well one day be actually, like, if you, like, there's no real measurement of dominance besides, like, basically you have a dominance battle and you fight it out.
Yeah, aggression.
Aggression mm-hmm. and, like, just being like, okay, so obviously you're more dominant than me and now we know where we lie in the pack. But, since Drew is still growing, one day he could be more dominant than Indigo, like, in yeah. actual truth.
Yeah.
Like, so anyway, and Hawk's just like, are you okay with that? And she's just like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay.
But I love that they have a very open discussion. He's like, look, I promise. Like, they talk about it, you know? And he's like, I'm going to do everything I can. He's like, I know I'm going to be dominant sometimes. I will give if you'll give. And they do. They have this sort of give and take relationship. But then we have a really serious incident. So Matthias is this beautiful giant tank of a wolf has returned to the territory. He is a lieutenant. When Indigo
I love
senses
him.
Him.
So Snowdancer's territory is so vast that they have different sections. And Snowdancer, where they're at the den, is just the base.
Right.
And they have to have other lieutenants in charge of other sections of territory because it's so much ground to cover.
Right.
And Matthias is one of those.
Right.
Matthias has a whole sector that he's in charge of.
And he's just returning. And Indigo, they're like, Indigo's in the woods and she smells him and she goes and she jumps on him because they're good friends. And she's like, oh my God, you're back. You know, and he's like, hey. And he's like,
gives her a smack on the lips.
He gives her a kiss on the lips and he's
friendly.
Super flirty. But they're like, they're friends, but this is like skin privileged friends, you know?
Yeah.
Y'all, Drew just comes.
Bust through the woods,
attacks Matthias, starts beating the
and
shit
like,
out of him.
Matthias is like a fucking oak tree, okay?
Yes, he's like, what is happening
it's
right
like
now?
It's like punching a brick wall.
Yeah.
It's just like, if Drew was in his right mind, you wouldn't just go for somebody with this much strength, like,
no,
head on.
No,
you have to be sneaky.
But
Drew's
but
not being sneaky.
He's not thinking.
He's
he
not
does
thinking.
Not back down. And immediately Indigo goes, Oh
shit.
The mating dance has
the
started.
The mating dance has started, and that's why Drew isn't actually in his right mind
right.
because
he can't
all
think
he has
straight.
Sensed is this is my mate,
and
another
other
man
male
has his
it.
Hands on my mate.
Yes.
Which is absolutely not allowed. It is a known fact that if members of the pack are in the mating dance,
you back off.
The male or in the female will be absolutely more possessive than they normally would have.
A little insanely so.
A little insanely so.
And so I love this moment because Matthias, he gets up and he's like all pissed. And then he looks at Drew and is like, oh shit, man. I didn't realize. He's like,
I'm sorry.
I didn't know. And then he just like walks off and like still Drew's like growling and like
if just like anybody else attacked Matthias like that, he would have beat them to a pulp. Okay. Yeah. Fuck the consequences. But the thing is, it's excusable because it's the mating dance.
And they all understand like you cannot control your animal nature.
You can't control it.
I love this part. And I love it though too
because Indigo realizes how he's not in his right mind. You can't rationalize this. He just sees one thing, my mate and somebody encroaching on my territory. And so Indigo allows him to bite her on the neck. There's lots of like displays of possession, and biting on the neck is kind of like giving like a huge ass hickey as well. Not just like, you know, biting. It's like they don't bite to bleed. You bite to like have a little
make
like
a little bruise.
Make a little bruising. Yeah. And so and it happens a lot because people are possessive, even in like established relationships, just like displays of like this person's mind. And it goes both ways. It's not just the male biting the female. Mm-hmm. It's vice versa.
I love the
women
scratch up their backs.
The women scratch up the men's backs.
And
okay?
The men like to show off their backs.
And on the arms as well. Because like awesome. Whenever Lucas and Sasha were going through it, he rolled up them
That's
sleeves.
Right. That
he was
the
like,
best.
He was like, Sasha scratched me, guys.
He was so embarrassed. And he's like, look.
It was so good.
He's like strutting around shirtless.
Do you see how insane I drive my mate? She's scratching me up, okay?
It's so like
they
macho
love it,
shit.
Okay? So Indigo allows Drew to do this. And I love the pack's reaction because they were like, holy shit. This is real. Like, Drew and Indigo.
Y'all.
Like, she is one of the most powerful people in the pack. Yeah. And she allows someone to bite her on the neck.
And even, I love like, when she goes to Hawk. She's like, Hawk, why is everybody giving me these weird fucking looks?
I hope they don't give Drew a hard time about it. Like, it's not his fault or whatever.
And so Hawk explains to her, he's like, the reason they're giving you a look, because they're like quiet and like staring, and she doesn't understand.
Because
Hawk says,
before they were like ribbing her because Drew's been courting her.
Right. But not only that, he says, the mark is very deliberate and
precise.
There's no precise.
You didn't struggle.
You didn't struggle. It means you allowed him to bite you that hard. You allowed him to, you basically submitted to him, you know, and so everyone knows like, y'all are for real now, and this is not like play anymore.
No.
This is like for real.
No.
So
it's like real serious, okay?
Yes. It's so interesting. It's such a cool society.
I love it.
I know. It's so awesome.
Because there's lots of emphasis on respect and on everybody having autonomy over their body and autonomy over their relationships. But there's also room for possessiveness as well. And that's why whenever people are like, what society would you live in? I'm like, I would live in the fucking changeling. Changeling. I would want to be a part of the changeling pack because
I would Dark River or Snow Dancer.
I'd
want to
be
Snow Dancer. But I really love Snow Dancer. I love their community life.
I like how they are communal because they literally live on top of each other. And I like that.
Yeah. But they all have their own space. And then sometimes they can just go off and shift and go into the woods.
Well, that's just like Riley has his cabin in the woods.
Yes. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Hawk and Sienna have their cabin in the woods.
I know. And by the way, we get more peeks at Hawk and Sienna in this book.
Okay, so it's like so funny because I feel like in the Kincaid books, you get lots of glimpses of Hawk and Sienna.
In
the last one, Riley, in the last Kincaid book, Riley warned Hawk against her, saying, hey, she's not ready. In this one, Hawk is displaying some aggressive tendencies, and Indigo, as a lieutenant, needs to nudge him and saying like, hey, you need to get this aggression taken care of. You need to sleep with somebody. You need to have sex because sex is an important part of their society. It's part of their skin privileges, and changelings view sex as something very natural, and sex between friends is nothing to blink at.
Right.
Like, nobody assumes that you're now in a relationship with somebody just because you're having sex. It's just something, it's like a base need for people. And it can be deeper and it can be more emotional, but there's always, always, always respect between partners who are having sex, no matter what, if they're just your friend or if you view them as more. And Indigo's basically saying, you're getting to a point where you're going to start, you know, being more aggressive, and it's going to spill out into the pack. The juveniles, that's why they're kind of acting up more because
his tension is next level.
Yes. And she's like, take care of it. But then before she leaves, she's like, just want to let you know, Sienna has not slept with Kit yet. Now, Kit is a Dark River male who is her age, and he has displayed tendencies that point him as
alpha.
Like an alpha. He will grow up and be an alpha.
And he
again
has
next gen, we would like this. Thank you, Nalini Singh. It I is, want Kit's story.
Please, please do. Please. I need it so bad. Needed. But he also seems to be courting Sienna a little bit. He's flirting with her. He's spending it's a lot of time
flirtatious.
With her. Oh my God. He is so awesome in their book.
And but, Indigo says, you know, if you leave it too late,
you're going to lose her.
You're going to lose her. Like, now's love, the time to act, buddy. I love
it. She never, in that conversation, she never even said her name. Mm-hmm. Just said, you're going to lose her. Mm-hmm. And Hawk knows. Like, everybody knows.
Y'all everybody too. Fucking everybody knows.
Where the sexual everybody tension is going.
Knows about Hawk and Sienna, okay?
Yes.
They know that something's going on. Right. And guess what? Hawk and Sienna's book is next in the series.
Good.
And
it's y'all, so fucking good. Y'all, if you've not read good. That one, it's so good.
I want to read it right now.
I want to reread it because we've been reading these and I'm like, oh my God, I've got to read that one. It's one of my absolute favorites.
It's so good.
It really is.
It is so good. We've already done an episode on it, by the way.
Yeah, so we can't do it again. But, okay, so the ending of this book, we have a Psy attack. Okay.
Yes, because certain members of the council do not want the changelings to get more powerful, and they're kind of acting.
Right.
The council should act as a unit. It should kind of be a democracy where they kind of all meet and make decisions together. But there's two in particular, Henry and Shoshana, who are making decisions by themselves, and basically are challenging the wolves. Right.
And they've decided they're going to take out the alphas. That way there'll be more infighting between the changelings, and then they'll get disorganized. Like, that's their whole goal. They're going to take out Lucas. They're going to take out Hawk. So they attack. They're unable to get to Dark River because Lucas has not been anywhere because he is protecting his pregnant wife, Sasha.
Yeah.
He is all over her.
Yes.
And not leaving the den.
And Sasha's a huge target because she was the first side defector. And she's the daughter of a counselor. Right. Like, she's a high target.
So,
yeah. You know?
So Lucas has not been anywhere in the city. He's not even left her side. He's like in his territory, not leaving, protecting his wife, his pregnant wife, which I love. Oh,
I
God.
Love it too.
I love their little baby.
I love seeing glimpses of them. It's like the perfect amount. The Lady Singh knows how to show characters that we've already had their HEA and like give us an
just
update.
Give us a little
just
bit.
A little bit, but not too much.
Right. So it doesn't take over.
Nope.
Exactly.
And it's that is perfectly balanced
That is so important.
So important.
So what happens is there's an attack and Drew senses, he sees a Psy focusing on Hawk and he realizes this is a TK, telekinetic, that there's somebody who's about to immediately like appear and
because
like,
for
kill
TKs
him.
To be able to teleport, they have to have like a moment of concentration. You have to be like a almost cardinal or cardinal. And cardinal means like we can no longer measure your abilities. They're that high.
Right.
And so he sees this guy just like intently staring at Hawk and he anticipates
knows.
The teleport before it happens.
Right. So he leaps in front of a bullet and takes it.
Again.
Again. His
he's
second.
Already gotten shot.
It's so sad.
For Brenna.
Oh, and I love that Riaz, he's the one who like puts down the side. Like they're all there. While Drew is bleeding out, Indigo comes. It's just a nightmare. It's so sad. And Hawk's like, hang on.
Hold him. And she's the one because, like we said in Riley's book, the female is always the one to accept the bond. They can fight against it as long as they want. They can hold out forever if they want. But the female is the one that has to decide. I want to be mates with this person, and I accept. And so Indigo immediately accepts because she has the power to like hold him to life with this bond. She can like kind of like give her life a little bit, life force a little bit.
Yeah.
In the same way that a healer like Laura can pull energy from Hawk the Alpha to help her heal if her powers are depleted.
Right.
Indigo can kind of like hold him and tether him there to keep him alive, keep his heart beating and stuff like that. So, and the problem is Judd, who had healed Drew before, has recently been on a mission where he's in flame out right now. So
right.
he is unconscious and has no powers.
To help heal
so, like,
him.
We can't immediately heal him like we normally would because Judd is available.
So,
he's
basically,
not.
Drew could die.
Drew 100% could die.
Yeah.
And it's all up to the healers and the doctors, and that's it.
But Indigo will have none of it.
Indigo will
she
have none of it.
She immediately is like, I've got him. And she snaps the mating bond instantly into place. And it's so sad because she's like, you know, holding him and like, I've got you. And then Riaz is like, you hold him, we'll hold you. Like they take them both back to the den.
I love the sense of pack. It's like so amazing. I can't even.
Y'all, so the end. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you my showdown. So here's my showdown. Here it comes. So my showdown is in the end when, okay, we've had back and forth where Drew is still unconscious, still not coming. And so it's been like,
can I mention this one little thing?
Oh, yeah.
Ben, who we all love, leaves his little action figure besides Drew to protect him. It is so freaking cute.
I need to see Ben's story. I need him to grow up.
So Ben and Marley. Yes, where is their story?
It's got to be.
Where is their story?
Friends to lovers. We're anyway, ready. We want it.
God, childhood friends to lovers. They've been friends forever. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Oh, okay, anyway. If they don't end up together, something's wrong, okay? I won't accept it.
I know.
Anyway.
She just needs to keep writing. She needs to move ahead.
Write forever. Be in this world forever. Anyway.
So it's been a while. I mean, she's like lost weight. She's
wasting
sad.
Away.
She's wasting
Laura
away.
Even says that. Like, Drew, like, you need to wake up because she's lost 20 pounds, dude.
Like, you're, help. You're made it to a skeleton. Please return. Like, yes. Laura's like, you need to come back. So there's this moment where the whole pack comes in and surrounds Drew. Like, everybody who loves him, and I get all emotional thinking about it, but they're all just like, Drew, we're here for you. And they're all like, and he wakes up, and the first thing he says is, where's Indy? Where's this girl? And when she sees him, he's like, he's just like, there you are, baby. And she leaps on him and just bawls crying in front of
She's
everyone.
She's just like hiding her face in his neck. And he immediately like, his first reaction was like, my strong as fuck mate is like crying in front of people. People yes. are here. She wouldn't let herself be that vulnerable. And he immediately orders them out. He literally just says like, yeah. get the fuck out. Like,
yeah.
My mate is crying, and I'm the only one allowed to see her this vulnerable.
But it's you just will not. Like, it's the sweetest moment because we see Indy doesn't care anymore. She's just so thankful he's alive.
I love how Drew's just like, I promise I won't get shot again. Twice is enough. It's fine.
And he's just like, baby, baby, it's okay. It's like, oh, my God. It's so
I love
sweet.
Drew so much. Why is Drew so amazing? I love it.
Seriously. Anyway. Oh, God, Drew. Oh,
I love
man.
The scene, too. It's so good.
It's so beautiful.
It's just so perfect.
It's so beautiful.
I love it.
You know, I loved it because Indy has been like this tough, strong ass bitch the whole time. And not that she's never been vulnerable, because she has. But in front of the pack, she's always strong. But like when it comes to like her man, she doesn't care who sees her as vulnerable yeah. or weak
and
or whatever.
And it's the thing about like being a lieutenant, it's not saying that. There aren't moments that you can't be vulnerable, but they are the rock in the pack. Like with
they
when
need
things
to
are
look
shaky,
strong.
When things are shaky, right. they're the ones that have the answers.
Right.
So to see somebody in that position of power, the person that you lean on and the person that you look to say everything's okay, mm-hmm. and they're suddenly not okay.
They're breaking down because they're so
it's
in
crazy,
love with their mate.
You know, it's crazy.
And their mate is alive, yes. and they can't even hold it back anymore.
So it's shocking, beautiful. And it's gorgeous.
It's a beautiful moment. I just love that. I just thought it was a beautiful
I don't know if
moment.
I could top it because I would pick that for showdown too. But yeah. I guess the other side of it is just like showing just like the
Their
courting.
Sexy side.
Well, the sexy side, but also the courting side. Just because the way that Drew just knows that you can't approach Indigo head on. He's tried that in the
yes.
beginning. And he finally
He's
finds his rhythm.
Playful.
He has to be a little bit sneaky, a little bit playful. Mm-hmm. And just like wearing her down with all the like I love how he also in their little his courting ritual, he also records for her ringtone, him howling Indigo's name. And so like it's so freaking I'm just like imagining this, like this off key like
so
howl
funny.
Of Indigo. And
yeah.
I just love it because it's like you can't stay mad at Drew. And, like, yeah. I yeah. love their playful side. And it's so freaking cute. And, like, all the little stuffed animals that he leaves for her. And this is kind of like a running theme, too, because mm-hmm. even in Hawk and Sienna's book, Drew still leaves her little stuffed animals, too. Mm-hmm. And just, like, I love it because it's the perfect balance. I
exactly.
love these balanced relationships. And it's, like, Indigo is the stoic one.
Yeah.
And Drew is the playful one.
Yeah.
And they work so well together because
– She needed that.
She needs that lightness.
How could she possibly be with someone as, you know, straightforward and stoic as her? You know, like
imagining lots of silent dinners and no laughter.
I know. Like there's a reason she became such good friends with Drew. He's so fun, so mm-hmm. playful. And I love that we get that in the beginning. Like she loves this guy. He's like the most fun, kind of her best friend.
Yeah.
You know, and then she gets scared when it changes because she doesn't want to lose that. But it's
Maybe
like,
it's scary.
Dude, you know, like he's meant for you. He's yeah. the one, you know.
They just got to get to that point where they realize they're the one, you know.
Yeah.
that this is meant to be. All right, guys. So we hope that you enjoyed today's episode, and we look forward to the next one. We'll be talking about Heart of Obsidian by Nalini Singh. I cannot wait until next week's episode, because this is one that everyone's been requesting, and it has a lot of spoilers. So you're definitely not going to be able to listen to the next episode without reading the Psy Changeling series. It's going to be so freaking awesome. Thanks so much for listening.
This goes out to all the fangirls.
Life's better with a little HEA.